Oh, so I have another idea. I'm going to start a new podcast, I've decided.
Yeah.
I just came up with this idea because, like, I want to talk about my voice on here, but I really don't want to talk about my voice on here.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm in a really weird / unique position of wanting to change my voice as I have to listen to and edit my voice weekly, constantly, right? So I want to, like, do a podcast called Finding My Voice, which is just like me talking. And like the premise of it is like, I'm not going to pay for like, here's how to change your voice lessons. Cause there are tons of like resources for trans people and like voice lessons online. Mm-hmm. There are lots of professionals that do shit like this. And I've watched some videos, but I'm not about to like pay somebody to be my coach. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to just people that I think have interesting sounding voices and just like use it as like a weekly check-in to see how my voice is going and to get pointers from amateurs or people who know nothing about voice and who I think have like, yeah, cool voices, both idea, like literal voices and like also like voices,
voice artistic way.
Yeah. This is the Gender Fluids Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Ava Smart, a 26-year-old trans girl and bottom-leaning switch.
And I'm Ariel Isaac Norman, a 32-year-old boy lesbian, for now. And we're bringing you the only queer podcast that isn't super gay.
Gender Fluids is a podcast about all the sex and all the people. You can follow us on Instagram at Gender Fluids Podcast. On Twitter, we're at Gender Fluids Pod. Our email is genderfluidspodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support us on Patreon, you can find us at patreon.com/genderfluids. Enjoy the episode, y'all.
Oh, the hanky code, but for love languages. Did we lose all of that?
Yes. Oh, it's all gone. I know, dude. It was so
fuck
good.
Fuck me in the ass.
Fuck me in the butt, Hyman. Fuck me in the
butt. I can't believe you lost all of our butt, Hyman.
Oh.
Okay. Well, let's, so, for
maybe
the listener,
we should just make this, like, pretty meta. So, like, this is going to come before the butt, Hyman bit at the end.
Yeah. So, we have to explain butt Hymans to the listener.
Oh, God.
Lube up the listener for butt Hyman talk.
Ariel, it was your idea. Ariel had the idea. I wish I could claim that one. Yes.
Yeah, so okay. Oh, it was because you were talking about taking Alexis's anal virginity, probably.
Yeah.
And so I was like, can you feel the difference in an ass that's never had a dick in it before?
Oh, yeah.
The first time going in. And so I was like, is there like a butthole hymen equivalent?
Yeah, yeah, that you did ask that. That was right. Because essentially, I said like both yes and no. So it's like ass is like kind of like you can feel like a tighter ass versus a more loose ass, but all ass is like retain like some sort of tightness to it, right? And so like each time you're like freshly inside a new asshole, there's like
it's like always
a little
virginal.
Bit of fresh.
That's what's so great about an ass is that it's always kind of virginal,
unless you're like the party. You know, pass around power bottom and you just get railed by 11 dicks.
15 minutes ago. Yeah.
You know, and then clearly your asshole's going to be like looser. Oh, yeah. And then you're like,
what if you sewed on a hymen? yeah. So, like, instead of our gender normative society we have now, we can start taking the hymen away from little girls and sewing them onto people's butts.
I just like the idea that they just grow over somebody's. Oh no, they're sewn onto the asshole, so it hurts when you shit.
So it hurts.
Yeah.
And so it hurts when you shit. And also, we keep some holes on the side so your shit can still come out in like ribbons. So you're not going to die. But
I like the idea of it being like that, but it being grown genetically. Like, what if, like, you know, we just figure out how to give people butt hymens like that? And so, like, shitting is just like a little bit uncomfortable for everybody, and like everybody then like has to like get like their butt hymen ripped at some point.
You want
to
give them like a really loose butt hymen?
No, I'm thinking like the ribbony like butt hymen, like it's they got a bunch of tiny circles in it, so when you're shitting it comes out in like
I'm thinking
Play-Doh,
like now
like
a peace
Play-Doh
sign
streams.
Like a peace sign where it's just like a three-pronged like gonna hurt too much. It's just gonna be kind of a cute partitioning of your poop until someone finally rips your butthole open. And if you're one of those people who never takes a dick in the ass and you want to keep pooping in three-part partitions your whole life, I guess. But the rest of us are going to be adults at some point.
I feel like it'd become a thing where it's like your wisdom teeth, where it's like, all right, honey, you're 14. It's time to go get your butt hymen snipped.
Just go snip it. If you're going to be a little faggot and not get your butt hymen ripped apart by a nice dick or dildo or whatever, then okay, little pussy ass son of mine.
We'll get it snipped. Because in this world, Bernie Sanders has been elected. We all have universal butt hymen health care.
Butt hymen health care. Butt hymen snipping is covered under the Bernie Sanders, Tulsi Gabbard era that we're all going to be living in. Guys, do you realize if we elected the right people, we could all get our butt hymens grown and then clipped for free?
For free.
Well, you know, covered, yeah, under universal. That is a basic human right.
I would claim that as part of my transition.
That's for all of us. This is a basic human right. We should all be allowed to graft a child's hymen onto our butts.
Or foreskin,
yeah. We could also cut the end of your dick off or your clit, depending on how much you've got to work with.
Really, into your butt. I think you should be able to take.
You could use any part of your skin. If you have a little extra chin.
If you want like a thick hymen, like it wouldn't to really hurt, right? Yeah. You could take like a piece of your thigh.
Oh, here's a fun one. Let's rip out one of my nipples and put it in my butt. I just want to get one of my nipples fucked off. Why not?
Oh God.
Let's have fun, guys. Who cares? We're rich, you know, why not have fun at this point?
Yeah,
we made it as a society. We killed all the other people, we took all their stuff. Now let's rip our own nipples off and put them on our buttholes.
But hymen
evolution. Kind of rude not to. It's kind of a disservice, you know what I mean? It's like an insult to all the people that we killed and abused and took advantage of to become this rich if we don't rip off our own nipples and sew them into our butthole. You know what I mean?
What are we doing with
what
ourselves?
Are we doing? It's like, why, what was the point if we weren't going to do that?
It could be like the first truly altruistic act is to rip your nipple off.
It really is about the most, just to honor the lives of the people that we murdered, raped, you know what I mean? Because otherwise, it's the least we could do. Is to really go there with the art of human expression.
Oh God. The sad reality is I feel like if butt hymens do exist, it's a for sure some Buffalo Bill motherfucker in their basement just like safety pinning. Like,
y'all are lucky that I'm a comedian and not a Buffalo Bill.
It's a fine line.
I chose to go do that with my life. My brain's always been this way. I'm just
choosing
like,
to laugh,
you know,
about it.
I'll just be a comedian. But murdering people does sound fun. I mean, you have to do something interesting with this life, is all I'm saying. So I could see how some people would get to murder if they don't
have a better
plan. Yeah, for like, if they get to the point where they're like, I don't know how to do anything interesting unless I don't have any skills. I'm 39 years old. I am an intelligent person. Like, yeah, I think they get to the point where they're like, I'm an intelligent person. I've never figured out what to really do. I've always kind of wanted to be famous a little bit. And I'm just like, my skills are going to waste. I'm going to kill somebody. I'm going to be one of those killing people. I think that's what happens.
I'm fucking there with you. Yeah. That makes so much. Like, I think people try and like add this like wild psychotic twist to it.
No,
like,
it's a midlife crisis thing. If you notice, I think it's usually like kind of midlife crisis-y for these people. They just like literally, they're just like, their lives didn't go the way they thought, and they're really intelligent people. And so they were like
I can't just buy a boat.
It would be like, if our podcast doesn't work or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, give it 20 years. Like, I don't put it past us to become the Chinnerfluencers.
Guys, like, we're not saying that if you don't support our podcast, we're going to start killing people, but like.
But we're going to figure out which parts of this is legal to put in. We need to talk to a lawyer about everything that we've just said. Because I do feel like I've a few times threatened to murder people. Or just alluded to the idea that I would. But I wouldn't, because I was raised Mormon. And so it's like, dude, I can't murder people. Ooh, no, 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 no. No, I cannot murder people.
No, man.
I'm like spooky Mormon hell. You can't even imagine. No.
I mean, it sounds cheesy to quote Harry Potter, but it's like a part of your soul dies when you kill somebody.
Yeah, I'm attached to the soul, dude. I know I'm supposed to let go and shit, and maybe it'd be really healthy for me to murder someone, just to, you know what I mean, in my letting go process. Like, I could see how that could be kind of healthy for me, actually. But, like, no, I just feel like I can't let go to that level. I just gotta...
I feel like killing a chicken to cook your dinner with would be
that would maybe be healthy. Let's start there.
Oh, there's a lizard. I don't have to go straight to
humans.
Window.
You're right. Sorry. That's such a good point. I don't have to go straight to humans. I think maybe killing a chicken would be a good step.
Yeah, do it and then, like, you know, make a nice fried chicken afterwards.
But I used to kill bugs more mercilessly, and now I don't, and I feel like that's healthy. But it's not because I'm afraid. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. So yesterday I filmed a porno in my living room, and then the day before that I filmed a porno in my backyard. But the one in the backyard
like
was
you should
my,
be saying our living room and our backyard.
Yeah, our. Okay, okay. Fine. I thought it's implied. Whatever.
I don't know. It just feels like you. Oh, never mind.
So, and the one before that was, like, you know, my friend who was fucking herself with a horse dildo in our backyard, and then, like, pumped a bunch of fake cum all over herself. Mm-hmm. And then the one I filmed yesterday was this, like, vomiting scene. Mm-hmm. And in it, me and this other trans girl, she throat fucked me until I vomited everywhere. And, like, it was a wild experience.
I thought it was going to be more of her throat fucking you, though. It was really more like you blowing her and then gagging yourself.
Mm-hmm. So it turned into that because we started off kind of just like we were going to do like a regular blowy kind of scene and then work up the intensity. But, like, my gag reflex is so bad that, like, she was like, you seem really sensitive to this, so I'm just going to let you kind of do it. Cause it was literally like, if she just thrusted forward a little bit, like, past, like, the point that I could take it, like, there's no, like, throat fucking me without vomiting, apparently. Like, I will just throw out the second you kind of cross that threshold too much, right? Yeah. So it turned into me gagging myself on her, like, dick. Like, she took, like, some Viagra, and so she was, like, rock hard. She has such a great dick. Yeah, and to get ready for it, you know, I I didn't really eat, like, the night before and, like, the whole day of. And then, like, to make sure, you know, my stomach was clear and I'm not, like, vomiting, like, actual food everywhere to help the smell. And then what I did was I drank a bunch of, like, blue Gatorade with, like, blue food coloring in it. Mm-hmm. So when I threw up, it was, like, this really bright blue color. And then during the second take, I, like, did, like, a bunch of, like, pink mixed with it. So it came out purple, right? Mm-hmm. It was a really great color palette. But I was super surprised by it because, like, I didn't know. I was planning on doing multiple colors, right? But I also, in the back of my head, and, like, didn't know if I could do that and, like, told everybody, like, hey, like, the plan is to do multiple shots.
Yeah.
I might do it once and realize I can't fucking do this.
Yeah.
So I'm done. But I got there, and, like, when the moment, I was, like, fucking sucking her dick, and the moment came in my head, I was like, all right, it's time to make yourself vomit on this girl's dick. And so, like, I was like, let's do it. And, like, I went down and, like, I got the first one out. And after I got the first one out, I was like, oh, I got this. And, like, I went back in a second time, right? And, like, after that, I would just do, like, a one, two, and then just, like, all the way down to where I would vomit. And so, and then I was able to do it, like, four or five times in a row real quick with the blue, right? And then I thought I got all the blue out, but I did not.
You should have done the white to rinse.
I know, but I couldn't have done it a third time, right? And white wouldn't have been as cool. Takes. The pink and the making it purple was, like, the right choice because it looked better than, like, I think if I do it again, I'll work up my stamina to where I can do three different, like, colors, right? But anyway, so I chugged this, like, pink Gatorade afterwards, thinking my stomach's, like, kind of empty-ish, so maybe it'll be, like, a light pinkish, violetish, but it just, I was wrong. And so when the second time I vomited, it just like fountained out, right? It was like it all had mixed together, and like I was feeling kind of like, oh, I drank too much before that. Like that one was rough, and like vomiting felt so good, but like with that one, so much came out, like it like splashed like on my dick and like on my knees, and then after that, I was like, you know what, man? I was like, I'm just gonna get fucking into this. So like, I started, when I was checking myself on her dick, I like tilted my head back a little bit as I threw up, so it like ran down my chin and like between my tits.
Oh boy. Yeah.
You know, with like slow spit. So like, and slow spit the end out and let it drip off my chin.
You did it.
Because it just tasted like Gatorade again. You know, it had only gone in like 3 minutes beforehand, right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't like,
it's not really like gross
vomit. It wasn't like acidic or really bile-y. Yeah. It was just
kind of Gatorade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, it looked so good, man. Also, but I just feel, it was a wild experience.
Yeah.
To like, because I knew I didn't have a problem throwing up. Like throwing up's never been like an intense bad thing for me. And like if I'm like violently ill, it's different, right? When it's like uncontrollable. But if I'm just like, oh, I'm drunk, I feel like I need to throw up, or oh, I just smoked a cigarette and I haven't smoked a cigarette in like, you know, 7-8 weeks and I feel like I need to throw up, I'm just going to go to the bathroom and do it and like be done with it, which is why I like knew I felt like I could do that. Right. Cause I've thrown up on one person's dick before on accident.
Yeah.
You know?
So if you tried, you could definitely do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was nervous. Yeah. I didn't know if I could do it. And like, once I did and like, you know, was like, had it like on my knees and shit, I was like, okay, like this is a thing I thought I could never do. Like I thought it would gross me the fuck out. Cause I always like, I don't like rough blowjobs, and I don't like, I can do like sloppy blowjobs, but not rough. And I don't like it when people vomit and after, like in the blowjob videos that I never watch those. Right. And so I was in my head about like, can I actually do it? Is that going to be a thing that's like going to come into it? Like, is the vomit going to be too nasty? Like, is my stomach not going to be clean enough? You know? But like doing it, I was like, fuck, man. Like, I don't know. I crossed that line and like was like, okay, hey, like I can fucking rock this. I don't know. It made me feel like oddly confident in myself. Yeah. It's not a thing I want to do all the time. Right. But it's like
something you can do.
Yeah. And it was like very easy to do. Like it wasn't painful and it didn't like take too much out of me. Right. I mean, it took a lot out of me like in the long run, like setting up the shoot.
You're off your life perhaps, but
setting off the shoot, taking it. Yeah. That was all tiring, but just like, and not eating like fucked me up a little bit, but like, I was showering after the second shot because I had vomit all over my dick and knees and stuff, and like and a little of my hair. I was like, I had this feeling of like, okay, that wasn't bad. Like, you know, sometimes when I try a new thing, I'm just like, I don't like that.
Yeah.
That was bad. I don't want to do that again. I didn't have that feeling with this. Where
you
I was,
think you might want to vomit on a dick again?
See, that's the thing, is like, I don't want to vomit on a dick again, but like, it's such not a thing for me. I feel like I could really help somebody who wants someone to vomit on their dick. Cause I feel like that's a hard thing to find somebody to get to do. Right. And I'm just like, dude, maybe there's some sort of money making opportunity in this, or not money making, cause that's illegal. But like, you know, maybe I could
find there's some kind of reciprocal gift giving opportunity.
Yeah. Are there any daddies or sugar daddies out there that want a trans girl just to vomit all over their dick? I'll do it. I'm really good at it.
Nice things.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really weird. And I like came out of the shower. I was like, huh. I like had to sit with that for a second. Like, okay.
Superpower.
Yeah. Leveled it's up. Also not a thing where it's like, because before, if somebody had been like, hey, I'm trying to do this thing, like, would you suck someone's dick until you vomit? I would be like, dude, I'm like, I don't know if I can do that. But like, since it was like my idea and I set it up and I like did it, and now I'm like, and I have that under my belt, I'm like, fuck yeah, man.
That's
like,
how the devil gets you. They make you think it's your idea, you know?
Yeah. But I guess it would change if they like had it, if they wanted it to be like disgusting and smelly, you know, if they were like, I need you to have eaten like a bunch of like
Taco Bell
or just like, hey, can you just like pound pizza. This like bolognese, yeah. Like, well, just straight bolognese sauce.
What if they wanted you to eat like really gourmet meals and then throw them up on them?
Oh, I'd do that.
Yeah, I was like,
heartbeat.
Yeah. He's like, great heartbeat. Fetish. I'll do that.
That's art, you that's know? Got legs. That, there's a thing. There's some thought behind that. If it's just nasty food, I'm not going to eat Taco Bell just to throw it up on you.
If you want to buy me like $200 meals and then.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was just thinking about that. Yeah, I would definitely do that. So that was a wild too often. Moment.
It is quite bad for your like esophagus and teeth and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I put a limit on it where it's like, okay,
it's
man,
an occasional thing.
I'm not vomiting on you every week. Like, I'll do it once a month. Okay, so I feel so old sometimes, or so out of touch with like large swaths of like people.
Is this the Billie Eilish thing?
No.
Oh. Because I am like so upset about that.
Yeah.
You know, okay. I'm in love with Billie Eilish.
No. Okay.
I shouldn't say that. She's 17, but you know, as an artist.
Yeah, as an artist. Okay, so the Billie Eilish thing is like, I just posted a thing the other day and that was like, I'd like to give a big fuck you to all the people who let me sleep on Billie Eilish.
I've invited you dancing.
I don't dance.
I know, but
you can still recommend music to me.
Well, I don't know. I guess I never knew, like, think that you would not know anything, like that I would know anything that you don't know.
Yeah, there's too much music for anybody to know everything.
Yeah.
Anything cool you hear, just like send it to me.
Okay, well, I don't know. It's very vulnerable. Like, I don't know. You're just going to make fun of me because it's mostly not going to
I don't
be
make
cool.
fun of anybody's, like anybody that sends me music, I never like make fun of them. It's just kind of like a personal rule. I was just having this conversation with No, because like I was just having this conversation with my best friend Elliot today where like we were like talking about how pretentious metalheads are and just how pretension in general really fucking sucks, because it's like one of the things that we enjoy doing the most is like sharing things with people that we're genuinely passionate about, and like pretension just shuts that shit down. Like, nobody wants to share things with somebody who's just gonna like shit on them or have an opinion about them that's like, you know, cunty. Mm-hmm. And like it stops people from doing that because there's a fear of that, right? And so it's like with music, I'll be shitty about music with like my friends privately, like my music friends, like and who I know, whose opinions I kind of know and can like shit talk with, right? Mm-hmm. But like with anybody that sends me stuff, I'm never gonna be like, this is fucking stupid. I might be like, oh, that's cool, man. Not really my jam, but like I like this part about it, right? Anywho, so yeah, send me everything. Mm-hmm. But still, fuck everybody who didn't tell me to listen to Billie Eilish, or however you say the name.
Yeah, it's Billie Eilish.
It's so goddamn good.
I know. That's like all I listen to.
Hey,
how do you never hear that?
I don't know. But because I don't
play more music at home.
Yeah, you should. I left you an aux cord out for a reason.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I just plug it into the
aux cord and hit aux on the mixer and it'll play. Yeah.
Okay.
My music shout out right now, everyone should go listen to this band Smolder. They call themselves Arcane Doom Metal. Go listen to Smolder. They're fucking sick. Anywho, I don't know. Just go listen to Smolder. I don't know what we're talking about this. Oh, I had my other thing.
Yes, your other thing.
So I do feel out of touch with like a lot of people, right?
Uh-huh.
Because like, you know, everyone like... The internet and social media is just wild to me still, right? It's a thing I've never felt wholly comfortable with. It's a thing I've never wholly understood or known how to engage with.
Yeah.
And maybe there are lots of people like that, but there are also a lot of people who are like...
Way adept.
Yeah, it's very adept, very well versed, and it's like a natural part of their life. And it's never been really integrated into mine. But I've been playing with it a lot more recently, right? I'm finally kind of like giving in to these like urges and just being like, okay, not urges as in like I've been like wanting to do it, but just like, okay, like I'm not going to just like begrudgingly use a thing because I like, you know, you have to have a Twitter a lot of times to apply to like festivals or shows. I'll be like, what's your Twitter handle, right? Mm-hmm. So I just had one forever. I'm like, I'm actually going to see like, what is this? What's this all about? How can I get involved in it? How can I use it? Can I actually learn it? You know, and I had this wild experience because, you know, I posted a long, I've had a Reddit for a while, but I have only just used it to look at things on Reddit. I've never like posted things or really commented or interacted. And so that's been the newest place that I've like gone to like, yeah. I don't know, learn, right? So far as interaction goes and having an active like presence or profile on it. And so today I posted like my second thing that I've ever posted, which is in this like trans like subreddit called like are trans passing. And it's like Reddit where you post pictures of yourself and other trans people tell you how close to passing you are or not. And like it's like supposed to be like positive like criticisms, right? Like not just shitting on somebody, but just like, you know, you're looking great, but here's a few things I would change, or like, hell yeah. So I like posted a picture of like myself before like Alexis and I went on our date to Justine's, which is like arguably one of my best pictures, right? Because okay. That's what I was thinking in my head. Like, you know what? This is like what I consider to be like my cutest picture, right? Mm-hmm. And like I had like just on eye makeup and like lipstick. So it wasn't like I was super dolled up. It was just a good, you know, picture. And I was like, what are they going to think? I'm going to toss my best out there and let's see what happens. And like, I didn't realize how many people were part of this like group and like how many people just actively use Reddit, yeah. right? I always thought of it as like an old thing from like high school, and it's still to this day just like, but that's what I mean by feeling out of touch with people, where it's like there are people whose like lives exist on Reddit. And I like, I don't even think about those people, because like this picture has gotten like 400 and something like upvotes and like 50 comments or what. And I'm like,
we should really use Reddit.
I don't honestly. Care. Yeah, no, but that's what I was thinking. Is like, fuck, man. Like, I just need to make one post. Like, that's wild, like the reach things like that have. Like, it's very, it was very uncomfortable, because like I did it because Alexis has posted in there a few times. She's like been more active like on Reddit, right? And when I was like, when I found out what her like username was and was like stalking her profile, you know, and like trying to see what all she'd posted and commented on, she had like lots of like pictures in there that had like 700, you know, 600, 800 like likes or upvotes or whatever.
Yeah.
And I was just like, holy fuck, which is why it made me think like, well, what would happen if I put one in there, right? And it's just, I don't know, it really blew my mind today. Like all day I've been having this weird thing. It's not only just a confidence booster in a large way that I didn't really expect it to be. Mm-hmm. It's making me feel so fucking out of touch with way more people without me having to interact with anybody. I was just like, oh God. Hmm. Oh, I did not expect that. Cause I imagine like who's not just throwing pictures up there every day. Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's going to get lost in a sea of like things. And it's just, it's uncomfortable. It's so uncomfortable, but it's not uncomfortable in a thing like, well, we'll just wait till it goes away. Cause it's not going away. There's no way. I mean, I don't know.
I think you should just get more involved in Reddit and enjoy it and like promote gender fluids on there.
But that's the thing, is like Reddit is based off of like interaction, it feels like. And I hate that.
Oh, yeah.
I just like, here's my thing and I'm done.
Wait, I think you can do some of that too, though. You know, dub and run.
Yeah, I guess. I wonder if there's like some podcast shit like that.
Maybe you can post and I can interact. I need to learn how to use Reddit anyway.
I guess we should make a gender fluids Reddit. Mm. God damn it. Oh, there's so many things to manage.
This is why we need an intern.
Okay, man. If you want to have like the cuntiest boss in the world and like get very specific instructions.
Mm-hmm.
And like want to manage our social media. Hey y'all, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while or are new to the podcast, you probably have a lot of thoughts about what we're saying or just us in general, and we would love to hear them. So you should head on over to iTunes and leave us a rating and then write a nice review about us, like this one listener did. They said, "The dialogue may be crass, but it digs for the embarrassing sameness and messy experience we all share in needing a way to identify ourselves. As insightful as it is difficult to sit all the way through, like waiting for a new lover to find your sweet spot. When they get there, they get there." Wonderful. Give us more like that. What's your idea? I mean, besides butthole hymens.
Besides butthole, which is a great fetish. I want that to exist. I think that might be another gender fluids
original,
because
I don't know. I mean,
we gotta look up butthole hymens real quick.
No, I mean, I'm fine to let it just live like in that realm of like possibility, right?
Okay, I'll let you live there.
I hate it when we look shit up while we're recording.
I'm just going to see if there's any results. No, there's nothing. I think we made it up.
I'm saying I still don't think we did. Like, there's enough like fanfic out there about people and magic and like getting anally fucked and like forcefully like fucked that like when buttholes ripping isn't our invention, and like the idea that there could be some sort of like screen across it isn't like that big of a leap, you know, like
you like circumcise the child and then use that to make a hymen for their butthole.
You graft it on, so as they grow up, it becomes part of their butthole.
It's like the same skin cells that like are able to mold with your body. I don't know science, but you get it.
Late in the 30th century, mankind found out that foreskin and rectal skin act as like stem cells for each other.
Stem cells, there you go. Perfect. I created these sexy butt hymens they could rip apart.
It changed society forever.
Fucking kinky ass race, man. Kudos.
Next week on Jordan Peele's Twilight Zone.
Oh man, for a second I heard that as Jordan Peterson and then I laughed at two different weird things that you said.
That would be Jordan Peterson's Twilight Zone. It's like, if we use the pronouns that they asked for, pretty soon butt hymens will be happening.
It is a slippery slope from pronouns to butt hymens, I think.
I'm sorry, but that is a slope I want to slide down.
We already did it. We just did it. We just made that slippery slope happen. We're the people like
lubing ourselves up
and getting hoses on the slope. There was just a slope.
But wait, I thought slippery slopes were fun, good things.
Yeah, exactly. It wasn't very slippery. Everyone was hurting themselves. So we were like, well, let's just fucking lube it up with some water. That's what gender fluids is. It's the slippery shit that we're putting. We are the slippery on the fucking gay agenda slope. Let's put some fluids in that. Stop getting yourselves these like fucking burns on that slide.
You gotta lube it up. You're doing this all wrong. We can make this way easier.
You're doing your slope wrong. You gotta make it slippery. If there's gonna be a slope, you want it to be slippery, quite frankly. No one talks about that when they talk about a slippery slope.
Then you can slip down a slope and have fun instead of otherwise you tumble down,
getting hit by shit,
breaking bones.
You want your slopes to be slippery, you dumb fucks. You know, Jesus Christ.
I just want to open like a ski resort called Slippery Slopes. And just have like all the like doors to like the ski and condos be buttholes.
Oh my god.
Just fucking motherfuckers coming in.
But that's the thing. This country is descending down a slope into hell, really. And so you got to lube yourselves up in times like these, really.
It makes it harder to catch, too.
Yeah.
They're slippery people, little fuckers.
People are going to be tumbling down the slope and you want to just slide right past
it. No clothes, just actually penis people, you should probably wear like a thong or something to hold your dick tight. And like big titty people probably are going to want some like a sports bra or something on, just cuz it's going to help you run faster.
Yeah.
You know,
in the slow burn apocalypse that we're all living through.
Dude, I mean, I have like apocalyptic fetishes all the time, or like not fetishes, fantasies.
Oh, God, totally! I think we all do. That's why the zombie apocalypse movies are so popular and everything. And it's
I've been talking like specifically sexually. Like you come across an encampment and like you need food and shelter, but like you don't have anything to offer because they already have all the skills fulfilled that they need. And I'm like, but I can have a wonderful asshole. Yeah. Do y'all want to fuck me so I can eat some of that sewer rat you've like managed to capture? You know, that type of thing.
I will be your sex slave, the tribe's sex slave.
Yeah, and I definitely have had fantasies of like Mad Max type things being captured and like used as like a sex slave and like. Right. Mm.
Yeah, it's a great landscape for
all sorts of fun things.
Yeah, the kinds of stuff that you and I are both strangely into.
Oh, it's so good. Because it's like, I mean, it plays straight into my fucking nerd shit, dude. You know, like that sort of like high fantasy apocalypse is amazing. But what was your fetish or that your idea?
Oh, wait. Are we moving on from Well, butt hymens.
And, well, that was the fetish of the week. That was just the thing we talked about.
This came up in conversation this past week. What if you had a fetish for like breast cancer lumps? I don't know. Is that the laundry? Or I don't remember doing laundry. Mm.
What if you had a fetish?
What if you had a fetish for breast cancer lumps? So like you just like that was what you were into, was like checking for lumps, but you're mostly into it if they're there.
Yeah.
You know?
Every time they're not, like, oh.
Yeah.
But then you finally find that lump, you're like, oh.
And then you kind of, because then it's so sad for you, because you have to tell, if you tell the woman or the person with the lumps, then they have to go, you know, get them removed and stuff. And now you're going to lose your lumps that you, it's like your favorite thing.
So they're into, I guess, this tiny window. They're just into this texture, the actual feeling of breast cancer lumps.
Well, it's probably the whole psychology.
Not the idea that the person has breast. Because I think that could be two things. Like you just like the feeling of it versus like you like knowing that person has
cancer. I don't think it's ever
going
to be just purely tactile, some kind of fetish like that. I think there's this like weird thing that your brain is doing.
Like an impossibility.
Where the psychology of like, That feeling of like, oh no, you have breast cancer, you know, like that's just got to be a weird like feedback loop fetish that you could get into.
Yeah. I mean, that makes me super sad, but like, yeah, I bet somebody's into it. Like, I mean, 100% someone's into it. Like it's too...
Prostate cancer too. Maybe the butthole feels a little different.
Because I mean, like there's already like a huge like field of, I was going to say medicine, but I mean, porn, that's like... based around like examination and like being examined or examining people. Right. And like, I've definitely watched like quote prostate exam videos or quote breast exam videos and like gynecological exam videos. So like undoubtedly there's somebody out there that their thing is like giving someone breast exams and finding cancer.
What if you were like a gynecologist or something and that was like your way of, because you had to do that a lot. It was telling people that they had cancer and that was like this thing that you needed to do. Like, oh, I want to talk to that doctor. If anyone has some kind of anything related to this, please do write us in. Any doctors who...
I mean, I like getting examined, you know?
Yeah.
I've definitely role played that before where like I'm being inspected and things like that. And it's just like... it's like mind-shatteringly hot.
I know. I've been masturbating to orgasm to it since I was 2 or 3 years old. I know.
It's just, oh, well, doctors. You should have Casey like bend you in all fours and pretend to, yeah, like, God damn it. I'm just used to saying Alexis's name now and it's wearing down that fucking wall.
I know. And she doesn't really mind, but
I know,
like,
but
it's just
I try.
Cute.
Yeah. It's
we
cuter
just like,
than her
we
name.
We just like the girl. Yeah.
Not
just,
that her name's not cute,
no,
but yeah.
No, but it's just fun. It's just
yeah,
my thing.
I like the character of the girl.
I know. Exactly.
But yeah, so you're like put on all, well, it depends on who you are, but like, and they know they like look inside you to make sure you're good inside and inspect your teeth and like your like tits and like feel you. Oh, it's just so good. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I definitely have gotten more into like boob stuff, like in general, and like boob stuff medically, kind of speaking, like. Post transition, like now that I have boobs, it's a thing that I can like get into more as like a thing that could happen to me, which is a thing that's pretty important for me, like fetish wise, right? It's like I need like some sort of thing separating it from reality. I need it to be fantasy, but I also need like that logical path to like realism for it to really kick it up to that next like thing. So like with tit stuff, like I used to kind of enjoy watching different like quote breast examination videos or things like that. But like, it's more fun now because it's like I have like that window to empathize.
Yeah, the mirror neurons.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, fine. It was kind of like a finally moment. But the thing is like, it's never about like actually looking to see if you have cancer or not.
Yeah.
It's more just about like being exploited.
Well, I wonder because, you know, when I have people check my hair for lice, like there's a part of like, and I get kind of ASMR from it. There's a part of that that is the physical sensations. Like I particularly like the two popsicle sticks because that's what the nurses used in elementary school when they would do that. And it was like the most blissful thing in my life. Every time I was like, oh my God, they're going to check for lice. Oh my God. Yes. And so
did you ever make yourself come? Well, getting chuckle-wise. No. I don't I know.
Probably. I might have squirmed my legs once or twice. Who knows what I? Who knows? You have to be subtle.
Yeah.
A beautiful young woman is checking your lice, hair for lice. But anyway, so when I've had people and like I would have anyone check my hair for lice, family members or any, like it's just it wasn't like a sexual thing at all. It isn't, but like, it would help if we called it checking for lice. You know, and if you did it in the spirit, because if you don't do it in that spirit, and you just do random popsicle movements, it doesn't feel as good.
Talking about like if the girl was to do this,
yeah, like you anyone, would
have to call it checking for lice.
It helps to call it checking for lice because then you check it in a certain way, and I want to have that exact like kind of thing.
Yeah.
And also just, I think there's like a psychological ASMR factor of like, and because they, you know, they even have these YouTube videos of that whispery, which it was like the lights would be off.
I can't handle that shit. It hurts me.
Oh, it's so good. And then, yeah. And then they might like whisper little things like, okay, gonna check.
No, I'm serious. I can't do that in my ears right now. You gotta okay. stop. It like that's like my like the it's like
that's your like molestery vibe.
No, it's like that Asperger shit of like I can't hear people chew. It's like that light. Mm-hmm. I'm like super sensitive like to like auditory shit.
Right. Well, anyway, that kind of light whispery stuff.
God, that makes it even
better for me.
It makes my like I'm like
skin crawl.
Yeah, like my stomach feels like bad. My back hurts right now.
Sorry.
Like, well, it's
it makes some of us feel very, very blissful. And so that's an interesting like dynamic to it. God that damn. Is very, this is very fetishistic of me.
How's that related to breast cancer?
Wait, I was trying to remember that too, but we were on a tangent from that. You said something that reminded me of the popsicle stick.
Well, I was just saying now that I had tits, it made like breast examination videos better for me because there's like a realistic connection to them as before. And you were saying you liked your head to get checked like this for lice.
Right. Oh, like I think you want to believe it a little bit, you know?
Yeah, but then you went in some ASMR.
Well, shit. I was just saying like it's night. It feels more like when you really believe the storyline. I think that's an interesting thing. Yeah, like how much
of course it feels better when you believe a thing.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying like that's it's interesting how much. I don't know. I feel like I had a point earlier, but now I don't remember. Well, breast cancer lumps.
That's fucked up.
I mean, people get into dark places with their fetishes sometimes, I think.
I know, but it's just like, for me, like, you know, I'm down for some darkness, but like specific types of darkness, it's like, when it comes to like death and disease and like legit suffering, like that's where it gets
just too dark.
Yeah. It's just like, dude, that's a hard thing to work around for me.
Yeah. You know? Maybe you can find a woman who has just like benignly lumpy breasts and kind of learn to work with it. Yeah,
but it's the spirit of it.
The I fact know. That the it's just like a like, pedophile who's just having sex with a young looking adult.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still wrong. Still wrong in your heart.
It's like technically everything's on the up and up here, but like
you know what you're doing.
But live your dream.
But live your dream. I mean, I guess like, it's
look,
not
you're doing it true. Right, buddy. Think you're doing it right.
Bringing down society any more than the rest of us. So. But there is a feeling right to the prostate. Like what when the doctor sticks their finger in your butt.
I've never had a doctor's finger in my asshole.
Well, do you know? Like, what are they checking for? Are they checking for a lump, too?
I don't know what prostate cancer feels like. And I've been
I wonder if it feels different years. To fuck a butt that has prostate cancer. Like, there's a
probably.
Lump.
I mean, all buttholes do feel kind of different, you know? Kind of like a lot of vaginas feel different. Like,
right. But maybe someone could get off to, like, feeling the prostate lump with their dick as they're fucking it, you know?
Maybe. I don't know if you would be able to feel it. It would have to be a very large lump.
Yeah, I don't know how big the lumps are.
And you also don't know how dicks feel.
It's good point.
I don't think you would notice
y'all it. Not have as many like kind of nerve endings.
No, I mean, you could, but it would have to be like, there's so much going on all around it. It's like,
you'd have to know.
Yeah. It would have to be like a very odd thing of like, whoa, what is that? You know, like, which seems like a difficult thing to happen when you're like fucking someone in the ass.
Gotcha.
But I mean, if it was like a big enough, like, tumor on the prostate like that it like could provide some nice like underside pressure to the dick That doesn't sound bad.
There you go.
Bad at all. Underside if they're like flipped over like doggy style, you know. I guess extra. It could be topside if you like want to flip fuck them on their back, right?
A little more cushion for the pushing in there.
No, I'm thinking like if it's like a harder tumor, it might be like kind of like a nice like pressure on the bottom.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's sandwiching it more. You're getting a little more.
Yeah.
A little more squeeze on your dick.
Good. So.
I'm just trying to make cancer lumps into a fetish. Pardon me over here. Just
gosh, being like, hey, quit trying to shoehorn cancer lump fetishes into our podcast.
I wonder if anyone might want to get off on cancer lump fetishes. If no one's ever thought of this before, then I feel bad. But no, yeah, plenty of people are turned on by cancer. I think we should talk about it. It's important to talk about how some people might be turned on by finding cancerous lumps in their loved ones' bodies.
Again, we're just lubing the slope up. just like dumping grease and lube.
Just want to make everyone comfortable at the party. Okay.
We can't get down this slope fast enough.
I've heard it's great. It's farther down you go.
Helping.
Or at least no worse than this, so you may as well.
Guys, this is the fucked up. It's guys, women and children first. Yeah, get those kids down that slope.
Kids down slope first. What does this even mean?
I don't know. It's something pedophilic for sure. Are they fucking kids at the bottom of the slope? Is that why they need more and more children?
The truth is, they're fucking kids now, and we need to stop it. Get the kids away from the rest of them. Send them down the slope where they'll be safe from the pedophiles. Look, at the top who are clinging to the top of the slope. The pedophiles are clinging to the top of the slope. Those wealthy, fucking rich assholes who were raping all of our children.
The bottom of the slope are like negotiating complex, multi-person relationships in like very emotionally mature ways.
Yes.
And have systems set up to protect children and aren't trying to fuck them because nobody's urges are being repressed.
Yes. And they don't have to, we're not on this insane hedonic treadmill where you guys desensitize yourself to pleasure and then you get into your richer and richer crowds and all of a sudden you realize that other people are fucking kids and now to keep up with the Joneses, it's like a status symbol in your world. I mean, it's just disgusting.
Also, it's going to be better for the kids to grow up in a place way down the slope where everyone's just chill and knows how to handle their
running
shit.
Around naked in flowers, having orgies with all of our lovers while you guys just are like, we're rich, and rape children. What the fuck? Easier to get a camel through the eye of a needle, indeed. Is that like supposed to be a euphemism for fucking kids' assholes?
I honestly have never heard that.
Jesus? It's easier for a rich man. It's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven?
No.
Oh, yeah. Huge indictment on the rich. These Christians really ought to think about it.
It does sound like a giant euphemism.
I think it might be. I think it might be something about not fucking kids' assholes. Yeah.
Look, I'm saying.
Stop trying to get your camel through the eye of a needle. Give your money to the poor, you fucking pedophiles. Look what you've done. You've turned yourselves into pedophiles by becoming so rich that there was nothing else you could do with your money but make pedophile islands. Congratulations.
You think it really turned them richness turned
yes.
into a pedophile?
I think people don't
Can
even
give me the bong too.
Some people are like, they have that like affliction completely just genetically, like they're like pedophiles. And then others of them don't even think that they're pedophiles until they get rich. And then they like get, like I said, the hedonic treadmill, it's so steep. Once you get rich and you just buy yourself every pleasure that you want, you know, and then Yeah, that's what happens to people. I think that's what happens to a lot of people. A lot of men have some kind of propensity towards sexual perversion that never really gets uncovered unless you get into that lifestyle. And then other people are doing it.
I mean, I'm not saying that it's not happening. I think a lot of them are fucking kids.
I think a lot of the 1% are pedophiles.
I don't think.
Or at least the 0.1%.
Yeah.
A lot of the 0.1% are pedophiles. I think that's how I'd put it.
Like that uber rich,
Uber rich. It becomes a status symbol, I bet. How many kids have you fucked? What's your youngest kid? 7? You faggot. I bet it's like that. Mm-hmm. That's where I think it is with those rich people. And that's exactly, it's like, that is exactly what Jesus is saying when he says, it's easier for the camel. I don't even mean this as a joke. Like, it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. I mean, it's funny that it happens to work for butthole rape. But like then for a king, because what I think the kingdom of heaven on earth, like it's, these rich people are so down the like holes of gluttony and pride and everything. They've convinced themselves that they deserve everything, whatever, and that they're living in hell because they've turned themselves into pedophiles. That is my theory. I want to talk. If there's any like fucking rich pedophiles who want to talk, how can we get this podcast to the rich pedophiles?
I mean, I don't know, because secrecy is kind of like the whole thing. It's
I know.
Hey, do you want to record incriminating evidence?
Well, that's the other thing I realized. Okay, you know how like all business deals are done on the golf course and there's like a handshake on the golf course means something kind of a thing? You know, think of what a handshake on a pedophile island means. You do not break that business deal.
No.
Dude, that is exactly how the rich operate. Someone they make their fucking deals. Yeah, on Pedophile Island. No one breaks those deals.
That's a TV show I want to watch,
dude,
too.
Dude. Temptation Island, indeed. Oh, my God. I cannot believe. They have pedophile islands. And that's the thing. Every time this happens, we talk about it for like 2 weeks. Even like Michael Jackson, everything. And then everyone just wants to stop talking about it again. But guys, I know it's gross that I want to talk about it. But it's because they're fucking kids and we should stop them. We should figure out how to stop these people. A lot of... Anyway... We know that sex trafficking is a big deal. This is not a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I know.
That's the thing. It's a huge problem. And so it's like, it's not a conspiracy theory. Lots of people, it's not poor people who are paying for fucking kids. They fuck their own kids sometimes. That's
it. But a way lower percentage.
Way lower percentage.
Fuck other people's
kids.
But
you notice who's not fucking kids very often? The middle class, which is a very, I think, strong argument for a robust middle class. Please vote for Bernie Sanders.
All right, you want to leave it there?
Sure. Thanks for letting me speak my piece. This has been another NPR production out of Safe Space Studios.
We're broadcasting on 66.6 FM. That's KFUX. Peace.
Ciao.
I'm Janish Meeting, a native writer and comedian, and I'm thrilled to announce that my podcast, Woman of Size, has found a permanent home on the Hoo Ha Ha Network. On Woman of Size, I talk to artists, writers, activists, and thinkers about their big-ass lives, their big-ass experiences, and their big... asses. Woman of Size is
plus size,
Latina,
flawed,
curvy,
we thick, queen,
queer,
fat,
black,
disabled.
So come take up space and subscribe to Woman of Size on Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen. Be big, baby.
This has been a Hoo Ha Ha podcast.